Hi, and welcome back to the Big Book of New Testament Questions and Answers podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Kramer, and I'll be continuing our discussion on the book of Galatians. This New Testament epistle, or letter, was written by the Apostle Paul, one of the most outspoken followers of Christ. He encourages the people of Galatia to return to their Christian faith after they're led astray by false teachings. Let's pick up where we left off. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. The question is, what is the text really saying here? The answer is, Paul's describing two changes that are related to each other that make all the difference in the world. The first change is in the middle of this section. God sent his Son to take our place under the law. By redeeming us, Christ has delivered us from the burden of the law and the bondage of sin. The second change flows from the first. Without Christ, we were bound under the burden of the law, and in our ignorance, we wasted our life thinking we could justify ourselves. Trying to justify ourselves under the law only exposes our failures more profoundly and insults God, whose grace provided the remedy for our failures in Christ. The coming of Christ in the flesh and the coming of Christ to us in his word and spirit changes us from the bondage of a slave and ignorance of a child. Since Christ redeemed us from bondage, God has made us his own children again by adopting us according to our human nature and by regenerating us according to his own. 2 Peter 1, verses 2 through 4. Chapter 4, verse 3. The question is, what are the elementary principles of the world? The answer is, the word translated elementary principles occurs 7 times in the New Testament. In every case, the word has to do with basic elements of God's created universe and the laws that govern those things. We have a chance to see the relationship between God and those elements in the life of Jesus, where he's never subject to or threatened by the basic elements of the world, but is in full control of them, making them serve his purposes as is appropriate. Mark 4, verses 35 through 41, and John 6, verses 4 through 21. The basic elements of the world, earth, wind, fire, air, stone, and the laws that govern them were intended by God to serve our lives as we love one another and learn of God in his creation. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 3, and Romans 1, verses 18 through 32. When these basic elements become master and God, then we become slaves with no hope, since these created things have no way to free us from the foolishness, idolatry, and selfishness that enslaves us to them. Exodus 32, verses 1 through 6, Numbers 11, verses 4 through 9, Colossians 2, verses 9 through 23, Hebrews 5, verse 12, and 2 Peter 3, verses 10 through 12. Chapter 4, verse 9. The question is, why does this verse say, now that you have come to be known by God, hasn't God always known us? The answer is, there are several words and a range of meaning for the word know in Hebrew and Greek that are often lost in translation to English. Certainly, God knows all things and is conscious of all things all the time. Furthermore, an important part of knowing has to do with being connected with what or who you know. Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived a son. Genesis 4, verse 1. Professors and teachers who know their subject are described this way because they're inseparable from that subject. They have great knowledge about and passion for the subject because they're joined to it. Paul is building a powerful argument in order to keep fallen human nature from falling away from the truth and grace of God. First, Paul appeals to the fact that they had come to know the true and living God, creator of the universe and author of their salvation. How could they abandon that? Then Paul immediately reverses the direction and asks them to think of what it means to know, that is, to be joined together in communion with this very God. Chapter 4, verse 12. The question is, what does Paul mean when he says that he became like the Galatians? The answer is, Paul's purpose after his conversion was to bring as many people as he could into the grace of God, as God had done for him. In order to be more effective in his purpose, Paul was determined to reach as many people as possible by identifying with or becoming like them. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 16 through 27. Paul was humble among these people, actually suffering from some kind of ailment while he was there. Chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. Paul did not claim to be better than the Galatians as a Jew nor as a Roman citizen. Paul identified with them as a man who had been rescued from ignorance and self-destruction by the grace of God. 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 through 17, and 1 Corinthians 15, verses 8 through 11. chapter 4, verse 19. The question is, what are the birth pains Paul says he endures? How could he possibly know what that feels like? The answer is, obviously, Paul would not know what a woman feels when she's delivering a baby, and this isn't what he's saying. Paul said he was laboring again to bring the Galatians to birth. Paul had already labored once to bring the gospel to the people of Galatia so that the Lord might regenerate them and make them his own children. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, and chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. Unbelieving Jews who came after Paul had visited and contradicted the gospel, imposing on these people the law of Moses and self-righteousness on the basis of works. Chapter 3, verses 10 through 13, chapter 5, verses 2 through 4, chapter 6, verses 12 through 13, and Romans 10, verses 1 through 3. Now Paul had to labor all over again to deliver these people back into the kingdom of God's grace in Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. I hope you've enjoyed the questions and answers we've been exploring today. For the complete collection of New Testament questions and answers, visit cph.org. Join me next week as we continue studying Galatians.